Let us pray. Our loving and merciful Father who art in heaven, Lord, how good it is for us to begin this time of worship with song, remembering thy great love for us and our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord. It cheers our hearts to think of how tenderly thou dost think of each and every precious soul that thou hast created, and that thy love does reach down even to us here below. And we pray, Lord, that the message of thy love and of thy truth would go forth in this evening hour, Lord, as we open thy word, as we would depend upon thee and thy Spirit's leading to inspire and to teach us as we gather together in Jesus' name. We're grateful for thy many blessings. We're reminded of how good we have it. And we pray, Lord, that we would take this time to prepare for the time of testing, prepare for temptations, that we would take upon ourselves all of the armor of God and be ready to do spiritual battle that we are called to for thy name's sake and for thy kingdom. We do pray for thy blessing upon thy word and upon each and every dear and precious soul that is gathered together to worship thee. These things we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like, with the Lord's help, to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 5. Desire to read the entire chapter. The Gospel of John, chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, "It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." He answered them, "He that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and sheweth him all things that himself doeth, and he will shew him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth, but I receive not testimony from man. But these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? May the Lord bless.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we could share with each other and study and learn of you, O God, and of your Son, whom you sent. For God, you are the Almighty and unchangeable God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And Father, we pray that your name would be magnified in this evening. We pray that we, a broken race, would fall upon our knees in faith and in humbleness, acknowledging our need for you, Lord, acknowledging our need of a Savior, accepting the propitiation for our sins, and accepting the high price that was paid by your Son for our soul. Father, each one of us here, we pray together that you would prick our hearts by the power of your Spirit, that your Spirit would work this evening, that a mighty work would be wrought among us, O God, a mighty work done by Jesus Christ. So, Father, we anticipate a blessing because we have faith that when your word is open, that blessings shine forth. And in that effort, Father, we pray for our brother Robert that you would impart to him a blessing. Give him the words to speak to us this evening, that no flesh would glory, but that your message would ring forth to us, whatever that message may be, that we would need to hear it, O God. For we trust in you, O Lord. We know that you know the future. And not only that, but you know us personally and individually. So we pray that you would inspire each one here in a personal way, that your Spirit would speak to each one, meeting a need, Father. Father, for a question was asked, who wants to be made whole? And Father, as a broken people on our knees, we pray that we would ask in faith that we would be the ones desiring to be made whole on your terms, O God, that you would work. We thank you for this nation that we're able to worship in, Lord, for the freedoms that we have. Father, we pray for our governments. We pray for those in leadership. We know and we have the faith that your hand is working in every aspect, O God. Father, that you have brought up nations in the past and brought them down low. And Father, that we pray that your will be done in ours. Father, we pray for our church as a whole. that we with unwavering faith would be able to proclaim this precious gospel story that has changed lives, that we would be fully convinced of its power, that we would be fully convinced of its opportunity of grace, that we would be fully convinced of its saving salvation that's offered to all. Give us the courage and the strength to stand fast in this world that you have placed us in. Father, we pray for our widows in our congregation and our widowers. In their loneliness, Father, we uplift them. We uplift them, Father, that you would impart to them a comfort, that you would be their healer, that you would be their uplifter, and they would find rest in you, O God. Father, we pray for parents that are raising children in these times. Father, our love for them is so great, and we get a picture of your love for your son in our own children, O God. So, Father, give us the wisdom and the grace and the strength to raise up the next generation full of faith, full of grace, full of mercy. Father, we pray for those that have not yet taken the banner of Christ and have yet decided to take the blood of Jesus upon them in humility and humbleness and be baptized and buried with him. We pray that they would consider their state, that they would consider their destination, and they would not waste their life, O God, and they would choose to live it holy and devoted to you, O Heavenly Father. Meet our needs this evening, Father, and go before us and lead us by the hand as we walk in your footsteps, leading the way and guiding us on this journey of life. For it is in Jesus' name, it is Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen.
This chapter concludes with a question from Jesus to everyone who would hear. It's a question that we should dwell upon. How shall ye believe my words? How important is our faith in Jesus Christ? How central to the writing of the Gospel of John is that faith would be developed within us. Even John mentions twice in the end of the gospel, these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that in believing in him, you might have life through his name. So how shall I, believe his words? What are his words that are just beyond what I can have confidence in with what I can see, that I must then embrace by faith? What are the promises that are just beyond my level of experience that I must take a step in faith to embrace? What are those acts of obedience and commands that I must more thoroughly take to heart and put into practice because I believe them with the depth that God calls me to? How shall you and how shall I believe his words? It's my hope and prayer that we would consider how we would answer and that we would want to say, with all of our hearts, with all of our being, with everything we have. That's how I would receive and believe the words of Jesus Christ. And the words that are recorded, the account that's given, is given so that you and I can have that exact experience. Every story has a setting. It takes place somewhere, a place that you can go in your mind and through the eyes of faith. In Jerusalem, there was a feast, and you can picture the buildings and the temple and the crowds that are gathered. This is not a quiet corner, but it is a crowded place. There's multitudes coming together. And as you go through the city, by the sheep market, where there would no doubt be some noise and commotion, there's a pool. And it's called Bethesda, and has five porches full of people who are waiting and expecting. They're blind, they're halt, they're withered, and they're waiting for moving of the water. They had heard that there could be healing found here. And among all of these people, there's one man who was lame for 38 years, longer than some of us have even been alive, struggling, suffering, but he found himself right there. And Jesus noticed him. Out of all these people, out of all these crowds, Jesus' eyes fell upon this man. And he knew. He could perceive that he had been a long time in this case. Was it because he asked someone who was around, who's who? Was it because of how his legs were bent? And how his disease had debilitated him, and he could tell that this had been a long time? Or was it the look in his eyes of desperation and sorrow, of being ready to give up? Because this man had lost hope. Jesus asks him, "Will you be made whole?" A man with hope and enthusiasm and vigor would say, "Well, yes, I'm here, and this is what's going to happen, and here's my focus, and here's my plan." But this man says, "I have no one. I'm in a situation where no one can help me, and I can't even help myself. Will I be made whole?" Maybe he's been telling himself for a long time, probably not. And he's starting to believe it. But Jesus says to him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole. He took up his bed and he walked. How will you believe? Do you know this man and his experience? Do you know the vanity of the things of this world and everything that it has to offer? Have you come up short? Is there no one that can help you? And can you not help yourself? Jesus has a word, and he says, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." It is the word of Jesus Christ that makes a difference and that changes this man and heals him and makes him whole. The words of Jesus Christ, his precious commands, they speak life to mankind. They call mankind out of darkness of sin, out of darkness of being self-absorbed, unto a new life, a life that is following him, that is immersed in him, the life that operates by humility and faith and obedience, one that gives hope and a word, if we would follow this word, would also make us whole, make us complete, make us healthy, would fulfill in us all that God planned for mankind to be as we walk in Christ's steps. And so the word of Jesus Christ is coming into this man's life, and the word is powerful, and it's living, and it's sharp, and it's separating. It's changing. That is what the word of Jesus Christ does. We also see in this picture a tender love. A tender love that Jesus Christ has for this man. And this man, we would put ourselves in that place. Have we also noticed the tender love? Jesus is in Jerusalem. There's many people that he could talk to. There's lots of priests and Sadducees that he could discuss the scriptures with. There's perhaps maybe the disciples could have come with him, and he could spend time with his friends. But he comes by the sheep market to a pool, and he takes notice, and he understands the condition and the trial of this precious soul. And the Lord Jesus, this is how he has approached man. With many, many things that he could occupy himself with, but he has set his affection and his love and his service and his time and has dedicated his life and gave his life for mankind, for you and me, that we could see the depth of his love, that we would recognize that we're not overlooked by the Lord, but that he has provided a way for us to be delivered. And so that there would be no doubt in our mind of his great love, he went to the cross for us. He went to the cross for you. He shed his precious blood so that we would have a way of salvation and help, that we could be made whole and one with God and live in a way that we could have peace with man and our brethren. The word of God is powerful, and the love of God must touch our hearts. That's how we will believe the words that Jesus has said. We must yield, we must surrender and accept, though we do not deserve it, these precious words. We have a hymn that speaks of this occurrence, hymn number 42 in the Zion's Harp. The first two verses retell the story of Bethesda's pool and what took place, but the rest of the song elaborates on the meaning and then the application for today. There was a place where these people would come to be healed, but nobody was healed in this story except the one who heard and obeyed the words of Jesus Christ. And so the invitation is given in verse 3 of hymn 42. Come, let yourselves be healed from sickness of transgression. Ye sinners, great and small, here only is remission. Therefore, this heavenly means of health and help embrace and be immersed within God's holy pool of grace. To be immersed. The word baptism literally means to be immersed. To be immersed in Christ. To be immersed in his death and resurrection, that all of life would be characterized by these truths. Embrace this heavenly means of health and help. Christ is this heavenly means of health and help. And it is within Christ that we are to be immersed. And that is where we find the grace and the help that we need. And hope. But hasten, do not wait, for sin your heart will harden. No balm or remedy can help save Jesus' pardon, the covenant messenger to cleanse us by his grace, as servant came that we might walk before his face. There is an offer and there is an invitation extended of love and of help and a way. And it is in the words of Jesus Christ that we find all our needs. But it is sin that will harden our hearts, that will say, tomorrow will be better, that will say, I'm not ready, that will say, maybe not me. But there is no other balm or remedy. There's no other path to take but faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To take him at his word. To believe what he has said. To embrace what he has said about the judgment. The judgment that is coming. That those who have done good, that they will be raised to the resurrection of life, that they will be given a new body, and they will dwell with the Lord for eternity. But those that have done evil, those who have surrendered their bodies into the service of unrighteousness, they will arise to the resurrection of damnation, to face eternal death. It is by our choice. It is by our choice whose word we believe. How shall ye believe my words? There's a desperation there. There is an urgent need there to believe the words of Jesus Christ. There are grave consequences. But the invitation is given in love and in hope and in expectation, and in a certainty of promise that God can help all of those who place their trust in him, that all of those who would receive him, God will give the power to become the sons of God, Not those that through the power of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but by faith, by the will of God, by trusting in what His plan is, we'll find all that we are needing, and we'll find His grace is sufficient. This day that the man was healed was the Sabbath. And the Jews were asking the man, "Who healed you?" And he said, "The one that said, 'Take up thy bed and walk.'" And these Jews missed it completely. They missed a testimony that God the Father was seeking to demonstrate to mankind. They missed the healing. They missed the work of Jesus Christ that would bring them into a place of awe and belief and faith, that would melt those excuses away when they see the truth and they acknowledge it. But they ignored. He said, "Take up your bed," and he made you whole. No, they just wanted to know, who said it? Who said, "Take up your bed and walk"? And they fell into the trap of being stuck on their own agenda and plan instead of turning and seeing, maybe I've been going the wrong way. Maybe it's time for me to stop. Maybe it's time for me to think about these words that Jesus Christ says and wonder, why would He warn us about what's coming? Why would He warn us not to make our lives a loss? Why would He want us to have an abundant life? It's because He loves you. He cares about your life now, and He cares about your eternity. And that is the motivation and the impulse that brought Christ to this man and brings Christ's words to you and me, the love of God. Now, God is gracious, and He heals the man. Lord Jesus heals the man. But then there is always a test of faith. There's always a test of faith. Jesus says, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." And now is the test of faith. There is free grace. There is an open door through which you and I can enter through faith. But then there will always be a test to follow. How did this man fare? Immediately he went and told the Jews that it was Jesus. Jesus' destiny to lay down His life would come to pass. This was all planned. And He would fulfill the work that He came to do. For us, our place is to hear the words and to believe. And in believing, we find the grace to endure the test, to be faithful to the Lord. As He helps us grow, He provides day by day that which we're needing. So may we take this question, "How shall ye believe my words?" and answer to the Lord, thank you for your love, and I will believe with all my heart. Amen.
As the picture was painted of a pool and multiple balconies and many, many people there at the Pool of Bethesda, I thought, why did Jesus pick this one lame man to heal? The whole porch was full of individuals needing healing. Jesus healed him physically, and maybe that's what he was looking for. But as Adam said in the prayer, we don't know if he understood about his spiritual healing that he was so in desperate need of, more so desperate need than his physical healing. Jesus says to him, go and sin no more, lest something worse come upon thee. What's that worse? My friend, outside of Christ, that's hellfire. And what's your excuse going to be? The lame man's excuse was pretty valid. He didn't have somebody to pick him up and put him in the pool. Physically couldn't walk. But Jesus comes on the scene and shows everybody there, all those witnesses, and says, I don't need a pool to heal. I don't need miracle water. Believe on me, and I will be the healing for all of your ailments. And if you don't believe me, O Jew, believe what Moses said about me. Moses writes in Deuteronomy 18, Jesus tells them, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Moses writes of what God told him in Deuteronomy 18. And he writes this prophecy, and he says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren. He says, I'm going to raise up people from you. I'm going to raise up a prophet, the Messiah, from you. And he will be like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken. Coming down to verse 18, God says to Moses, I will raise them up for a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee. He repeats it. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, basically the words that this prophet is saying, I will require it of him. Require what? Require your soul. But the prophet, which shall presume to speak a word in my name, he's talking about those that come in the name of Christ that are false prophets. And how to identify a false prophet? But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or thou shalt speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Here, Christ did indeed die. But we know that his words are true and from God because he did not stay in the grave. He was resurrected and defeated death. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, basically if it doesn't come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. If a prophet's telling you to do something and it doesn't come to pass, don't be afraid of him. Be afraid of the one whose prophecies come to pass and who came as a healer to the people. But my friend outside of Christ, he's not going to come back to heal. He's coming back to judge. And his judgment is righteous. So the question for us all to contemplate is, do we wish to be made whole? May the Lord bless the word upon our hearts.